Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio Presents OPA number 140. This is Kevin DeFrango. Sitting beside me is Ken Phillips. What's going on, good sir?
Not much, man. So this is 140, huh?
Yeah, this
just
is...
Just kind of like that movie that came out a few years back.
Oh. But,
yeah, this is 40.
Oh, this is 40, yeah.
Yes, this is 140.
Yeah, and we are in our 40s, so...
Right.
Let's, I guess let's celebrate, Ken.
Do you, I guess.
It's a celebration of our 40s.
I was going to say, do we hope that we would reach our 140s?
Or man.
Is that something that we would even hope for?
That does not seem desirable still at this point.
For podcasts, it's pretty good. But, years old, I'm not so sure.
Yeah, I do not think I would want to live 140 years.
Of course,
the people that live 100 plus look, most of them look like they're, you know, they've seen better days. I'll just put it that way.
Well, it could be a monkey's paw situation where you, you know, wish to live forever, but then forget to wish for eternal youth. So, like, you just continue to age forever and you eventually, like, shrivel up into a raisin. So, yeah. I wouldn't want that to happen, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I guess how would that work? Like, couldn't you stave off it better in that situation?
I don't know, because what does aging look beyond, like, beyond the natural lifespan of a human? Like, how old would you get? Like, you would look like, I don't know, the oldest person alive if they also didn't take care of themselves and were, like, you know... smoking a pack of cigarettes a day and, you know, eating chips on the couch. I don't know. Like,
yeah, I guess I'm...
You would have to reach some new level of disrepair.
So what you're saying is they're going to turn into Thor in Endgame?
Maybe even worse, Kevin.
Maybe worse.
Yep. That's what I'm afraid of. Yeah. It could be worse. So, you know what? Other things that could be worse, Kevin. The band Tool came out with a new album recently.
I thought you were going to make a call there since I mentioned Thor.
Oh, well.
I could Segway King.
That would have been better. Yeah.
But, Tool, they have announced a new album. It is something that, you know, I guess I hadn't thought about.
I think it's fair to say that back in the day, we were both fans of Tool. I know I saw them in concert.
They still are one of, like, my favorite bands to see live. Like, the way they sound live, just is really odd. Like, I guess I just always feel like there are some bands that really do better live than other bands. And Tool is one of those ones that they were so awesome live.
Yes. And doing a little prep for this episode, we were listening to some Tool before we started recording here, including a couple of live tracks off of their first EP, Opiate. And
Which was kind of funny because that's what I listened to when I went to the gym the other day.
Oh, wow.
Because I remember getting the, I mentioned this in my tweet about it, the cassette.
Oh, wow.
I got Opiate the cassette back in the day. I guess I hadn't realized it had quite been 13 years. Like, I knew that it had been a while since they had released
their last,
something.
Last album. Yeah.
I guess the one thing that surprised me even more, and that's what I was trying to get to at first, was I didn't think about them not being streaming because I have heard them on Sirius XM. In this absence.
Okay.
So I have heard their songs.
Right.
So it wasn't like a complete absence to me that, you know, that they weren't completely out of my mind.
Yeah.
If it is a band goes, and yeah, they're still awesome.
Yeah.
But them releasing it definitely made me go back and listen to more already.
Right. I'd say their earlier stuff is my favorite. Like that Opiate, you know, we were just listening to. I forgot like how kick-ass they were in that one. And like Maynard's voice is just like so strong as well.
Yeah, that was the, and I'll never forget, and they mentioned it in the article from the Atlantic that you sent us to.
Oh, right. That was kind of our jumping off point here.
they show part of the Undertow video, and that was one of those things that, because I know that I went back to Opiate, you know, because
it was probably not that well known. They kind of broke big with the Undertow album. It's Sober, I think.
Sober.
It's probably their biggest hit, I would think.
yeah.
Overall.
Yeah, and I'll never forget that video because it was just something that kind of stuck with you visually. Like, it was so different than anything else that was being put out at the time.
Right.
And the fact that, like, it was still always a little bit strange that Tool was more out there, but they belonged to metal.
And that was,
you know, like, they were way bigger than just about anyone, you know.
Yeah, I almost had considered them to be in a separate category of some kind, but I guess I never really thought about it. But I didn't, in my mind, group them in like a heavy metal category for some reason. Although, I mean, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, and they definitely played festivals like that. Because I mean, I'm trying to think of, because was that, I think Ozfest was the first time that I saw them.
Right.
I want to say, like, they headlined that, and I was just like, my jaw just dropped.
Yeah, I saw them in at Penn State at that Bryce Jordan Center there. They were just headlining their own tour. I forget who opened up. But it was pretty cool visuals and stuff like that, I would say. Always a fun thing with, like, Tool album art and things like that. They're very, you know, artistic in the musically and visually, I'd say.
Yeah, they're not quite as elaborate as, let's say, Rob Zombie, who always tops my list in the, act department. But Tool does incorporate a lot more than most bands.
One thing that struck me, and I have been thinking about this lately, like, in the time since Tool's last album and today, like, I'm not sure how many, like, big records have come out that even feature, like, electric guitar in, like, years. It's, like, kind of weird, like, to think about.
Yeah, there are a lot. I hear a lot of people complain about there not being any rock and roll anymore. And I guess because I've gotten even deeper in metal and punk, because there's more of it available these days, I don't think about the rock itself. Even though I do, like, when the wife is in the car, we always, you know, I do not keep the heavy metal on because she is not a fan.
Yeah.
And so, but we do agree on 80s rock, classic rock, you know, even dabbling some hair metal is not a problem.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that stuff was very popular music back in the day.
Yeah.
And then before that, for a long time, I'd say that rock music was popular since at least the 50s. But yeah, definitely. I remember also hearing when we were younger, you know, that rock is dead was seemed like something that got thrown around a lot. But it occurred to me that, yes, I think that rock may have actually flatlined at this point.
There aren't too many bands, I feel like. Who is that from? The Black Keys.
Yes.
Might be, like, I don't know if you necessarily call them rock, but I mean, you've almost got to go towards that, and I do listen to that occasionally too. Like, I think they still call it like college rock or something like that. Like,
Right.
you kind of need to get those kind of bands. Imagine Dragons.
Yeah, I mean, Imagine
But
Dragons, yeah, I feel like they don't have a whole lot of guitar kind of feel to them. Like, I don't know, not traditional rock anyway.
yeah, no,
Yeah.
I don't think they're like an Aerosmith or anything. You know what I mean? Well, I mean,
They're not John
I
Bon Jovi.
yeah, or Bon
They're
Jovi.
not, oh my
Yeah,
God.
the style is definitely different. Like, there is n it does not seem like there are too many people in those people's mold. You would think with all the variety out there, like that's the other thing that's kind of weird to me sometimes too. Like, there's so much variety out there for new music that's good. 'Cause, and that's kind of the problem that I have, is there's more heavy metal than there's ever been, so it's easier to get deeper into it at this point. So I don't worry about the kind of the new rock, but I just find it, I'm like, are people just not looking for it? Like, it's got to be out there, right? Like, it's one of those things that I still haven't, even though I've heard it acknowledged, it's not something I've tried to seek out on my own because I'm satisfied with what I'm getting.
We may be able to blame Limp Bizkit with this. They may have actually killed rock and roll.
Oh,
I feel like that's about the time where things really
don't
went off
blame
a cliff.
Fred Durst, man.
Last I remember, Fred Durst was still traveling the world looking for the sickest guitarist in the world to play in his band. I wonder whatever happened to that. Well, there's no way to know, Kevin.
We will never know, and we will not look it up because neither of us care that much.
No, I'll just imagine that he was last seen blazing a trail into the unmapped jungles of the world somewhere, looking for the world's sickest guitarist who could be in a lost city somewhere, for all we know. You really have a lot of real estate to cover when you're looking over the whole world.
Yeah, you do. You do. And wow, that was all from talking about Tool.
Well, yeah. The other thing about Tool, I guess, is that they're like, as the article mentioned, I think their lyrics were
Oh.
always a little more like introspective and I don't know, maybe philosophical would be a way of putting it.
Yeah, they were, and I guess that's, there's definitely an aggression to their music, but sometimes it is just very bluntly stated in heavy metal. And that can cause it not to be kind of mainstream. Tool was able to harness that anger and still and do it like, well, you're saying philosophical, but you know, they just use kind of big-ish words to describe similar emotions, and it gave it more gravitas, as a lot of people like to say these days. And I do. That was kind of the funny thing. I did agree with that part of the article. The conclusion of the guy not enjoying their music as much these days, I'm just like, well, that's one of those things that people are kind of surprised sometimes. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm still listening to heavy metal. Like, that's not like a thing that's going to change for me. And I think that, Tool definitely reaches more of an audience.
Well, I believe they were on some Billboard chart as the longest, this most recent release that they had was the longest song to ever
Oh, be on the
appear on
top
this.
100.
Yeah, it's like 10 minutes long, I think, or something
Yeah,
crazy.
1022. And you know, they talked about it racking up the iTunes chart for buys because they finally came online. And I got pretty pumped about it because I think I kind of saw the headline, but then I finally listened to the Joe Rogan podcast with Maynard on it. And that's when he announced that they were, putting everything up online. And that was the one aspect of, like, I guess because I had heard them, I didn't think about them not being in Spotify or something like that. Yeah. I'm like, did I never, like, I just kind of thought to myself, I'm like, did I never think to look for them? Or did I look for them a long time ago and go, oh, shit, they're not here, and just kind of left it at that? Because I feel like for a while the Dead Kennedys were also in a position where they were not on Spotify, if I'm not mistaken.
That's possible. I know the Beatles were not on were not distributed electronically for a long time. And the same with Led Zeppelin was slow to do it. But yeah, Tool especially, I think, has held out for a long time
yeah,
from being a newer band.
Yeah, and obviously with those kind of sales numbers, it shows you that they could have been making money off this for a long time.
Because I did look them up on Spotify, like, I feel like last month. And I was like, what the hell? Like, Tool's not on here. And I even, like, did, like, a Google search. And I was like, Tool, you know, not on Spotify. And it was like, hey, they just don't want to be on, you know, streaming. And they own the, original recordings of their songs. So, like, they're able to do what they want. So I was like, all right, whatever. I guess they're not going to do it. And then, like, to see this article and be like, what the hell? They're on streaming now? And I'm like, oh, yeah, shit, all their albums are on Spotify now. So that was kind of fun. unexpected.
Yeah, and that's why at the end of the article, yeah, with the guy talking about not enjoying it as much, like, I do think that some people grow out of the metal. This guy definitely seemed... I guess there are still some things that it's just like I give a pass to that maybe aren't completely up to modern standards of wording, that are things that are problematic, as the kids like to say.
Well, I guess, you know, the one point was the on that song Enema, I think it was from the. The same name of the album.
Right.
Talking about kind of the concept there being that the West Coast in Los Angeles in particular was going to fall into the ocean after an earthquake. And kind of like, not only that, but sort of reveling in all of the people who are going to die and sort of like listing off all the different kinds of people. So yeah, that was a little... problematic, I guess you could say, especially given today's, you know, kind of profile we've seen of sort of disaffected, you know, people having grudges against people and taking it out on them, you know, in the real world.
Oh.
I think it can give people a little more pause these days, that kind of sentiment.
Right.
So the other thing is, I don't know, I feel like, you know, that album is kind of where they peaked for me. Like, listening to their other stuff after that, I mean, I still think it's good, but it's not as good to me as, like, their earlier albums.
Yeah, I mean, it does tend to happen sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, to me, I feel like, especially the ones that... and, you know, maybe it was good that it just kind of lasted a short time. Maybe it was never... and never gonna last the whole time. Like, it, I guess it's always interesting that someone kind of, and I can't remember who I heard saying it, they're like, why do they expect bands to stay together forever? Like, yeah, people don't always stay together forever. Like, Darren Malakian of System of a Down, when he was on Chris Jericho's podcast, like, he's like, you know, there's just a lot of creative people, and sometimes you end up butting heads and you can't kind of get together because everyone's super picky about what happens.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be a little bit like a company that had the same workforce forever, you know. You expect change at some point, I would think. Like, people,
oh,
you know, aren't working together anymore, going on to do other things. You know, even subtracting out creative differences, I don't know.
Right. Yeah. I maybe experienced that and recently just changing jobs. Like, it has definitely been reinvigorating to meet other people in the same field. Just like, I've never really known that many people in the city that are architects. Just like, just moving there kind of changed a lot. Like, even if they don't stick around, I kind of know more people that are out there at this point.
Yeah.
Which is kind of nice. Like, kind of having one workforce, I didn't realize how stale it was. Like, I guess it wasn't completely static, but just because we had interns coming in and out.
Right. It is different when you have a bigger group of people, I would say.
Yeah, but there, I know that there are already some major players that have moved around and that probably will not be around all that much longer.
Would you say, like, major players such as a certain neighborhood web-slinger, Kevin, who may be moving around and not be around anymore, potentially?
Yeah. This is definitely an article that has both OPA and We Watch Stuff written all over it. So I will be...
Oh, I hope I'm not poaching a topic from your other podcast.
Yeah, I'm sure Jeremy and Shahid can give their own take, but I'm sure that it's going to be very similar, to be completely honest with you. It was definitely a thing of horror. I was very
just to go real quick here, in case anyone doesn't know. There's been news of a breakdown in negotiation between the Disney-owned Marvel Studios and Sony Pictures, who control the Spider-Man film rights. They had been working together in kind of like a surprising way, really, to me. Like, I was surprised that came together at all.
Well, and I'm kind of surprised that Disney was only taking 5%, to be completely frank with you. No. That seemed like a gross underpayment.
But I think that is for, that's just for like the standalone Spider-Man movies, I think, right? Like this Homecoming thing, for example.
Yeah, correct.
But I think Sony put forward like all the money to
all the production costs.
Yeah, to make the movie. And then Disney gets 5%. From that movie. I don't know. Spider-Man...
That still seems a little low to me, to be honest with you.
Well, it's interesting that... Because Sony owns the Spider-Man character, right? So, like...
Yeah.
The deal is basically so that then Spider-Man can also appear in the Marvel movies.
And I guess that's where... that's where it changes for me. Like, I didn't want to see Spider-Man rebooted. I did not see Spider-Man Homecoming when it initially came out. I'm like, I'm fucking tired of Spider-Man. Fuck that guy. Like, they had just botched it so many times.
Especially with the...
And there's been, like, infinite... Like, what is it? And it really wasn't a full reboot, honestly, to give them complete credit. the Spider-Man Homecoming was not like a reboot of the telling of the story of how Peter Parker became Spider-Man. You did get to skip over that part, which was good.
Yeah, I haven't seen it myself, so I'm not sure, but... I know it's fairly popular.
Well, and I guess that's him being in other Avengers movies was what got me to go back and watch Homecoming.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, because I'm like, I like this guy now. You know, like the way they presented him, I'm just like, okay. And I know that I'm pretty sure I had heard good reviews of it, but I just still didn't end up going to see it because I guess I still didn't believe it.
Right.
At that point,
once bitten, twice shy. I understand. You don't want to go right back on that Spider-Man horse. Spider horse? I don't know. Whatever it is, you didn't want to jump right back in there,
right?
But yeah, sometimes you're rewarded for trying to get going back to the well, and this seemingly is one of those times.
And I guess that's why I'm kind of annoyed that this is even happening, and why a lot of other people are probably annoyed that this is possibly happening. Is just like, ah, man, they finally have the gang together, and someone's gonna get ripped away. Like, they finally get X-Men back.
Oh, right.
So that they can really expand the universe even more.
Yeah, that's a crazy deal there.
So that was the other thing. And you could definitely tell from Far From Home, because, and Melissa and I went to go see that too. You could tell that, you know, Spider-Man's going to be one of the next big, or, you know, the biggest, like, he's going to be literally taking Iron Man's spot now that there is no Iron Man.
Yes, I think that's part of the big
problem,
too. I hope
that isn't a spoiler for anyone.
No.
If it is,
well, I
you
saw
should have seen Endgame by now.
I saw Endgame, so it was kind of, I think, alluded to in there as well. He's kind of a protege of Tony Stark's and kind of, you know, carrying on his legacy there.
Well, and he was, and I think Spider-Man was rebooted three times just because, you know, traditionally he has been very popular.
I would say so. I think he's a very, dare I say, an inventive superhero in some ways, you know, not just like super strength. I mean, he does have super strength, but you know, instead of being able to fly, it's like with some limitations, I guess. That are kind
there always seemed to be a little more of a draw, you know, kind of like, I guess that's why, and I know it's completely different universes, but maybe it's why Batman was always something that engaged me a little bit more, because there is a human aspect to it. And with Peter Parker, he did get the super strength in the Peter Tingle. But, you know, otherwise he kind of looked like a regular kind of a human.
Yeah.
You know, he was not presented as, you know, the biggest guy in the room ever, or, you know, anything like that.
Yeah, or invulnerable to damage or anything like that.
Yeah, he always seemed to get jacked up.
Mm-hmm.
So that was always kind of nice to see, just because some of those guys could just dust it off.
Certainly Aquaman could. I don't know if you've seen that movie yet, Kevin.
Yeah, I did see the Aquaman.
I was surprised by the level of damage that Aquaman was able to shrug off in that movie. I guess I wasn't that up to date on my Aquaman lore, really. Just from the old 70s Justice League cartoons. And I don't remember him taking too many, spears or, rifle shots in that cartoon. So maybe they didn't, they just never came up, I guess. Or even he might have taken an RPG in the beginning of that movie, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm not sure. For some reason, the wife was just watching Justice League before I came down here.
Oh, wow.
I'm just
That's
like, oh, yeah, that was still like the weirdest introduction of Aquaman. It was so awkward. That movie was just not good.
I never saw Justice League.
Oh, man.
I don't think I will.
You can continue to not see it.
You know what, though? I did start watching it one time, and I saw the opening scene had one of the reshoots where they had Henry Cavill come in to do Superman again, but he had like a mustache for a different movie. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah.
So I got to see some of that like terrible special effects mustache removal. And that's probably all I need to see. Just to kind of have that cultural touchstone there. I think I got enough out of that movie in the 5 minutes or so that I watched it.
Yeah, I mean that was a grand part to get to see.
Yeah, I felt privileged.
Yeah, there were no moments like that in Far From Home, Spider-Man, this year.
That's good.
I will assure you. But, so
yeah, I was surprised at how much a mustache could really mess up somebody's face. it was totally noticeable. Like, I wouldn't have thought that would have been such a big deal, but wow.
Yeah, like, that's still one of those ones that, because I did see the moment when he came back before I came down here, and I was just like, I always look at it, but I knew that it was there. Like, everyone made such a big deal out of it when the movie came out that it was hard not to look at it, you know what I mean? Like, it's one of those things that if I was just in the theater and I was seeing this, would I pay attention to that or not? I mean, I think I'd probably notice it.
Something would be off, I think.
But that's probably where I'd end up. But just because the scenes aren't long enough, I'd probably be thinking to myself, man, something doesn't seem right. Like, I don't know if I'd ever really, like, put my finger on it.
Yeah.
Like, I probably
The same way, yeah. It is somewhat subtle, but yeah, once you have it pointed out to you, it's pretty
it's
obvious.
It's glaringly obvious.
Because I think I had a similar situation. I was like, what the hell is going on? Something's wrong here. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. He had to get his mustache removed digitally.
Yeah, because was it the Bruce Willis movie that he was in?
Yeah, that could be.
I'm trying to think.
It was a very forgettable movie, too, I think.
I don't think it did as well as they were hoping it was going to.
No. Probably could have shaved the mustache. I don't know how long it takes to grow back a mustache.
Well, it was pretty bushy. Oh, no. He was in Mission Impossible.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it was.
Didn't see that one either.
No, I did not see that. Although I have heard from Shahid and Jeremy that those are very enjoyable movies now, much like the Fast and Furious franchise.
Oh, they had another entry here recently that sounded pretty fun. I watched listened to the How Did This Get Made episode about it.
I'm sure
you had as well.
We went to see that with the one and only Jeremy Mays. His esteemed wife.
Oh, that's good timing for you guys there.
Great. It was opening weekend. Like, we told them a couple, because we know how they are with the movies. Like, Jeremy's got to see it, like, opening night, like, the first time that he can possibly go see it after he's done working. And I'm like, hey, dude, do you guys want to go to the movies with us? Like, can you kind of, like, wait 48 hours? I'm sure it was killing him in those 48 hours that he hadn't gone to see it.
Well, that's true friendship there, that he was willing to wait that long.
Yeah, I was kind of expecting him to go opening night and then come again with us.
That's what I was wondering.
That was 100% what I expected was going to happen.
But another thing that maybe some people weren't expecting to happen, Kevin, is it looks like the NFL, the XFL rather, is getting closer to launching here in 2020.
Yeah, you know, it was kind of interesting. Was it the American Football League that folded?
I feel like they were the AAFL or something.
Okay.
Unpronounceable like that.
AAF.
Oh, wow.
I think.
Yeah.
Which is also kind of an odd acronym,
right?
In my opinion, like, that does not really roll off the tongue. The XFL is finally getting ready to be booted up here, because it was 2020. Like, it did seem like it was a long time to get things up and running. With the AAF folding, maybe they were doing the right thing, giving themselves a little more build-up time. I don't know if people are maybe just building up, money in the meantime to help pay for expenses in the future. And that's why they decided to take 2 years, because the other league couldn't pay their players.
Also, they did have to design all these team designs, uniforms, do all these videos. All these teams have their own videos, which we only had time to really preview a couple of them. But
yeah, I did not feel like we needed to watch all of them, because I was all for the because I know that I saw it either on Yahoo Sports or Google link where they were ranking the logos top to bottom. And I've got to admit that which one would you go with for your least favorite logo? Because you got we got LA Wildcats, Tampa Bay Vipers, Houston Roughnecks, Dallas Renegades, New York Guardians, Seattle Dragons, St. Louis Battlehawks, and the DC Defenders.
Right.
And I mean, there could be multiple ways to go with this. Like, who has the best name?
I think logo-wise, for me, the Dallas Renegades are probably my least favorite. Them or the Roughnecks, I don't know. But it's just a little too... it's not giving me enough there.
See, now my problem is with the LA Wildcats, because I feel like that's almost exactly what the LA soccer team has.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's
and
a good
one. It's so lazy. Like, it's literally just an L and an A. Like, there is nothing going on there. Well, like, at least in the Houston one, they're making their H look like a Derrick. It is a little too Houston Oilery.
Mm-hmm.
To call it a fresh logo. Like, they spiffed up the Houston Oilers logo with that H and a star on top.
Right.
So, yeah, that one is in the Tampa Bay Vipers. It's another one. It's just a V. Like, there's no scales to the skin, the green skin.
The V is, I suppose, meant to remind us of a snake in some, at least in coloration there, because it looks like it has kind of an underbelly, although it has two underbellies, which is a little weird.
Well, and that's kind of like, that makes it more look like you're trying to make some snake skin boots out of it.
Mm.
That's the only way it's going to be flayed open like that.
The flayed snakes. That's that doesn't really inspire a lot of confidence there in your team name.
No, no. If but they're going to be dead, it's not good.
But that could be our nickname for the Vipers, as long as this team league is in operation here.
Yeah, so I was not, honestly, Dallas was not an offender on my list.
Mm.
Like, it's not the best.
Oh, I just think it kind of blends into their background there. I don't know, maybe it's just...
Oh, you want to see a little more pop.
Yeah, it's supposed
to... You know, it'd probably help if... Because they barely only have the red eyes. If they just did a red outline after the blue, I think that that would really do what you're looking for.
Yeah.
Like, it's... to me, that's a simple change.
That could help. But, yeah, I like the Dragons, I think, and the...
Yeah, Seattle Dragons. I liked the New York...
Oh, jeez. I just went, Kevin has a new Surface, I don't know, what do you call this, tablet?
Tablet, yeah.
And I just went insane with I think I just did the Zoom too much here or something.
Well, you got back to my mail too.
Yeah, I just screwed everything up somehow.
But
I think we figured that our hometown, our local team, quote unquote,
Would be the
Washington Defenders, or the DC Defenders, if that's what they're called.
Yeah, the DC Defenders. That it somehow is just a scant 7-hour drive away or so.
So that is a major mistake of the XFL, not to have a team in Columbus.
But, yeah, I mean, it was...
Or even nearby, like not even in Chicago. Or, you know, Cleveland. Yeah, or
Chicago
they already have an NFL team, I guess.
But some of these places have NFL teams.
Right.
So, because St. Louis is the only one without a team right now, correct?
You know what? I think all these places do have NFL teams. You're right.
Yeah, except for St. Louis is the only one sans pro team.
And they, of course, used to. I don't know. Could have been. I could have seen like some kind of Midwestern city being on there, but there's really nothing in the Midwest.
No, not really.
Well, St. Louis, I guess, if you count that. But
well, yeah, we should count St. Louis.
Yeah,
since it's about middle of the Midwest.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is not a close trip. I want to say that's like 8 or 9 hours to get to St. Louis. Because I know that I drove it to go to Brian's hockey tournament back in the day. But it's certainly a pretty long trip.
Yeah.
So yeah, not seeing XFL live. Don't really care to watch it on TV either. Like, this is one of those things that I get my fill of football from college and mostly from the pros. Like, I really don't need another football league in my life.
Yeah, I mean,
especially now with the variety of choices. Like, maybe it's a good idea because maybe there are people that want to see football year round. But I'm good taking a little time off.
Yeah, starting back up in February watching football. Well, the problem is too. Sometimes it's not very good football.
And that's kind of my other problem. Like, the XFL, there were some people that came out of there. We've always talked about our love of Tommy Maddox.
I mean, let us not waste an opportunity to mention that again.
That might be one thing that's been mentioned on more podcasts than anything else.
Tommy Gunn.
In the XFL. Yeah. Numero uno.
That's right.
He was but honestly, like, he was kind of one of the biggest, you know, I mean, he was a starting quarterback. Like, I don't think there was anyone else that was that big of a name, honestly, that came from the XFL. Like, there might have been some starters. I know that He Hate Me, Rod Smart, did get into the NFL, but
he was not, like, a huge star or anything, I would say.
No, he did not hold down a starting job for at least 2.5 years.
I mean, that's good for him, though.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was, I think, made famous by the league, but not necessarily a breakout star, like we said.
Oh, yeah. And I also remember before that...
I don't even know if Tommy Maddox is a breakout star, but, I would say he is, because he was the quarterback of that team for a few years.
Yeah, it was at least 2 years, maybe three.
And I feel like he gave them chances to win a lot of times. He just kind of wasn't able to be consistent enough, I feel like.
And he was not very, not that you needed to be mobile, but
no.
He really just stood in the pocket.
He was not the first mobile. No. He wasn't mobile, and he wasn't mobile.
Yeah, and I think that hurt him.
True.
And honestly, the season that, because he got injured the first game of the season and Roethlisberger came in, like, he was supposed to start that season.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, like, that was the plan, but the plan got blown up and Roethlisberger was doing too good to pull him by the time Maddox came back from whatever the injury was. It's right. Just like, well, he's the future anyway, so, well, it's the future.
And it seems like the future's now.
Hey, we're going to go 15-1 with the rookie quarterback.
Yeah, that sounds like a plan.
Of course, we still lost to the shitty-ass Patriots.
Had to go
Patriots.
There.
Patriots.
Screw those guys.
Before the XFL, there was the World League. And I remember kind of watching some of that, but again, that like there weren't that many people that came out of that. Actually, scarily enough, I remember that when I was over in Europe, I went to Frankfurt in my travels, and I did see gear for the Frankfurt Galaxy there back at the time.
Yeah, I feel like Germany was kind of like the biggest... participant in that for some reason.
The world they ended up, by the time they contracted a little bit, I think Germany had 3 teams because it was that popular there.
Yeah,
and they were in my experience alone, The least, the most accommodating as far as speaking English.
Oh, well, that's
Not
interesting.
that I wanted that to happen, since I knew German, because I wanted the opposite to happen, to me to use my German, which is now completely shot, pretty much.
Well, they probably were having the opposite reaction and wanting to practice their English,
Yeah,
like,
and I'm
on
just, and they ended up winning because there's more of them talking English to me
you.
than I can talk German to them.
Right.
So I just talked English, and it kind of was annoying. But oh yeah, there has not been one of these football leagues that has really produced that much talent. Like, there are some fringe guys that end up getting in there, but there aren't that many people.
Yeah.
You know, for every Warren Moon that comes from the Canadian Football League, there are a considerably larger number of people that never make it here.
Yeah, that's fair to say.
And that's an organization that's actually kind of stuck together for a long time, and they still can't get that many players that crack an NFL squad.
You know, it seems like it's hard to get players who are good enough to play football, you know, at that level. I'm not sure what could be done to increase that amount, because it seems like there's already a lot of college teams. You would think that
Oh.
there might be enough players considering all of the teams available in college, but I don't know.
Yeah, you would think and I'd honestly think, like, it's one of those things that, and maybe I'm wrong in thinking this, I'm not sure, but I don't feel like they were any more well organized than a college team,
The
like in the past.
are we talking World League or
Any of them, yeah.
yeah, previous XFL?
Like, I feel like they were, it was almost like bad college football
Right.
level. Like, you know, like, because I guess I know there's some pretty rough college football out there still.
For some reason, I can remember us watching the World League on television, like in our household, on more than one occasion. So I'm not sure
Oh.
why that would have been exactly, but
Yeah, I did.
maybe just as like a sort of a curiosity. I'm not
I
sure.
know of all of them, for some reason, I was most invested in that one. Because I feel like I like the. Well, I think it's the Barcelona Dragons. Everyone does love dragons,
Oh yeah, that's always a
by
good
the
mascot.
way.
Yeah.
Plus, there is kind of the Dragon House by Gaudi in Barcelona. So there are reasons to do that.
That makes sense.
I'm not sure that they were drawing from that reference. Maybe they were. Yeah, I remember them, and at the time we had cousins who were living in San Antonio, and San Antonio had a team. I'm trying to think of what their name was. I think it was something cowboy inspired, which is not surprising.
Yeah, that's probably a safe bet down there. It's either Lone Star reference or a cowboy reference. Things are, I think, changing down there in Texas too, so who knows? We might be stereotyping.
Well, this is the World League, so we're stating this from a, what, early
Oh,
90s?
in a historical perspective,
Yeah, in a very historical perspective.
yeah.
I'm not saying this team is happening today, but that they were definitely not going to have some weird enlightened name back in 1990.
Gotcha.
But yeah, I believe that they were kind of into it, so that was kind of interesting about the situation with the XFL,
Yeah.
or not XFL, the World League. So
So
yeah, but still, that's not a high bar to cross either, in my opinion. Like, I'd be interested to go back and watch those, because that was sanctioned by the NFL. And they had to donate so many play, you know, each team had to send so many players over there, 'cause I believe
Oh, right.
James Harrison played over there.
Oh, you know what? That has to have been why we were watching the games then. That makes a little more sense because they actually had, NFL
Oh.
players on that were playing there.
Yeah. There was a little bit of let's see how this guy does kind of situation.
That makes sense. I don't know. It's so. Do you think that there's anything they could do, Kevin, to get you to watch these games? Maybe if the buzz started building some.
I'll probably take a peek at some point. Like, yeah. I don't think it's going to be out of curiosity, but I don't think it's something that's going to stick with me either. Just because there are kind of a lot of options. Like, I'm finally just starting to get the hankering for hockey again. Mm. You know, like, even that, I'm kind of glad to switch off for a couple of months. Yeah. Like, I kind of appreciate that, like, where I can just kind of enjoy... baseball's been kind of tough to enjoy this season. But and soccer's been a little in the Columbus Crew variety of soccer's been a little tough to enjoy, despite the relief of new ownership. The field product has not worked out as well as one would have wanted.
That's unfortunate.
But I do feel like things are headed in the right direction. But you know, it's kind of a little too late when you're not going to make the playoffs this season.
Yeah, that's never good.
So that's the sports that I normally enjoy while hockey is off have not been particularly enjoyable this season.
Well, it's not that often that you get a whole new sports league dropped down on the table for you to just sort of admire and you know, critique, I guess.
Well, it does kind of go back to something that's become something of a paradox. Like, you've got to choose what your entertainment is these days. You know, whether it is going out to see Hobbs and Shaw or watching a sports league. Like, I guess it just doesn't really rank up there for a priority for me. Like, I know that I really like the one X-Men show that was on Fox, and I can't think of the name of it offhand.
Runaways, was that?
No, it wasn't Runaways. I'm trying to think of what that is.
Well, any characters that we would know in that one?
No, because it's like post X-Men.
Not Legion?
No.
That's X-Men adjacent, at least.
Yeah, this is... what the shit is called? The Gifted. Good Lord.
Oh. No, I didn't see that one.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. But it's still just something that, because of all the wrestling that's been on TV and available, I have not particularly dug into this series yet. And I think it's going to be, it only lasted two seasons. I think I was told that it was not going to
in a way get that's, renewed. In a way, those shows are kind of good because it does give you the hope that you can actually finish watching the whole thing.
Well, yeah.
In some reasonable amount of time.
There is that. It was a little bit of a bummer that it came to close that that quickly. Like, I've kind of started to enjoy those series that are like 5 or 6 years long. And they're just like, nope, that's enough. We're out of here. You know, because it's kind of like longer than... I still hear the English talking about their 1 or 2 seasons and stuff.
Oh, right.
I'm good with something that lasts a little bit longer than that, but also doesn't kind of get long in the tooth either.
6 seasons in a movie, perhaps? Something in that... that range.
Yeah, kind of depending upon what you want to do.
That was, I think, the rallying cry for Community towards the end of its run. But a reasonable rallying cry, you know?
Agreed.
Now, this, I guess our last story would probably, most people would not consider it to be reasonable. This was probably a strange case that a lot of people saw. Or at least I had seen also in the news.
Yeah, I did not see. And oh, my brother did not get back to me.
Oh, yeah. Well, we were hoping for some more of a...
what a bum.
The local kind of insider's perspective on this story. But this did take place
in Henrico County in Virginia. It's from a Washington Post story. And some persons, because they're, unless the person was doing wardrobe changes.
There was different kind of, I don't know,
disguises.
Or, there is different outfits.
Because these people delivered 50 like old school tube TVs to people's porches. And that was it.
Yeah, they went up to 50 different porches with 50 different old school box televisions.
Yep.
And just placed them carefully on the porch facing the door and then walked off. And in some cases, they saw that they were being recorded and even sort of waved to the camera.
Yeah, and that's where see the one guy with, he literally had his own TV over his face and head.
Right.
So it was very hard. Like, it would be very hard to judge who that person was. Like, you could definitely get a height and maybe a ballpark in weight.
Yeah.
Just because you can get height. But there were not any distinguishing characteristics that were showing up on their person when they dropped this TV off. Because it was like gloves, jacket to make them look maybe a little bit bigger than they are, honestly.
Yeah, long sleeves, pants.
Pants, TV on the head, like there. And evidently, it all happened in some pre-dawn hours. I was amused that they're like, well, what can we do? Like, they did something wrong, but it's just kind of a nuisance.
Yeah, it was like leaving unwanted items or something like that they could have been charged with. But at the same time, this does seem like one of those few things anymore, seemingly, that is just sort of harmless fun. And nobody is really being inconvenienced. Like, it's not really hurting anybody. Not really. The police did have to like spend extra time. I don't know why the police were doing this, but they went around with a truck and picked up all the televisions and took them to the county recycling plant to be recycled at no charge to the homeowners. So, like I said, this really doesn't seem like to have been a problem really for anybody. This wasn't
definitely was not. They did not turn out to be as you know people might fear these days, a bomb or anything of that nature. Like, it would freak me out to find something that I did not order on my front porch in the morning.
It would be strange for sure. And
of course, I might not notice it because I don't really go out to my front porch. But that's a whole nother discussion.
It could be out there for a while. The guy, the TV guy, would be like, "What the fuck, man? I gave him this TV. He just leave it on the porch."
Yeah, roommate Kevin would have to find out that one.
But yeah, I guess my feelings on it is, hey, at least nobody got hurt. It's probably okay. In my book. And I did a little more research, Kevin. I don't know if this was in the article that I shared with you, but they said that a similar thing had happened the year before in a place in a nearby neighborhood.
Yes.
Where somebody left, I think, more like 20 televisions in one night around the neighborhood. So this definitely seems like a recurring thing happening here. And I guess it could continue to geometrically progress each year.
Yeah, and you kind of mentioned how this get made earlier.
Oh, right.
There's that character, Michael Bay, that keeps on sending Revenge of the Fallen for them to review. Like, how do you keep on getting tube TVs is not an easy task these days. And to pick up 20 of them is kind of a pain in the ass. To find 50, I'm like, you're not just holding on to those. You know what I mean?
Right. Do they have access to some kind of like warehouse? Or are they just like buying them on eBay? Or going to like old like flea markets and like secondhand stores? I don't know. Yeah, you're right. Sourcing these would not be, like, the easiest thing, really.
No, like, that sounds like more work than dropping them off, honestly. Like, now that, I guess I hadn't thought about that, but procuring them would be tough. Like, I mean, I know, because I'm trying to think, when we moved last year, I don't think we had to get rid of any tube TVs. Like, I mean, I think that we'd been done with those for a while.
Yeah.
At this juncture.
I feel like we've been done with them for a while, and even my parents, I don't think, have any at home anymore, I'm thinking.
So, yeah. My parents are not technologically savvy, and they are done with the heavy TVs.
I think those are mostly phased out. So yeah, that would be a bit tricky to get that stuff. I don't know. It does seem like they're trying to send a message by using the televisions in particular. Maybe something about kind of obsolescence of technology. you know, what happens to these devices that are no longer useful to us. Something along those lines to make us think about that kind of thing. But I'm not sure. That was my best guess.
Yeah, I don't know. It's pretty entertaining.
Yeah.
I'm glad I don't have to deal with it.
There
honestly.
Is something funny about the idea of a television person dropping off televisions. I agree. Like that, it's kind of adding that extra element does make it a lot better. Because if it had been just somebody in a mask, you know, dropping stuff off or like with a bandana, that would not have been as charming by far.
No. Yeah, they kind of really went the Banksy route and mm-hmm. tried to really, maybe not Banksy, maybe I'm thinking one of the DJs that like wear like Dead Mouse.
Yeah.
They're Dead Mau or however you pronunciate that, with, you know, where they have some type of character head on.
Right. Or else, oh crap, there was like a duo. I can't remember what their name is right now. They're also DJs with the. More like space robot helmet kind of things. Daft Punk. That's
yeah.
It. There we go. It is kind of a Daft Punk sort of look, I guess. Except bulkier. But
yes, it is. Hopefully we can follow up on the story with live accounts from Henrico County.
Yeah, if we have more of our dispatches from our Virginia correspondent, a special assignment, we'll let you know.
Well, Ken, it's about that time to talk about the Beltane beer this week.
Ding, ding, ding.
It is an oldie, but a goodie. New Belgium Fat Tire. This is one of my favorite drinkable beers. It is one that is not terribly hoppy.
No.
I do love the great sweet maltiness of it. So I guess I was trying to get the stats here. Oh, yeah, 5.2% and 22 IBUs. So, yeah, this is definitely not one that's going to knock you on your ass. I do feel like we drink a lot of ones that will knock you on your ass.
Yeah.
But this one is definitely one that, you can grab a six-pack and not worry about knocking a couple of those back without, being completely obliterated.
Yeah, it's a nice little change of pace, I guess you'd call it. I had never tried it before. This was actually selected by,
Did you not have this when you came to the New Belgium event with me?
Maybe I did. It's quite possible that I did and I just don't remember it. But they first were coming into Columbus, I think, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I probably did have it then, to be honest. But
this is the first time since then. That's been a while.
Yeah.
I'm not getting invited to those parties anymore. I don't write about beer enough. Oh, we just talk about it at the end of the show. That doesn't seem to count.
Oh, whatever.
The perks of writing on the internet. They don't get spread as wide as they used to. Okie doke. Well, for at DeFrango 11, he's at Gozer 33. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, or wherever you happen to listen to us, and have a good night.
And a great week.